If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. Sunday morning,
Many of you may be thinking, well, drugs don't concern me, but it does concern you. It concerns us all. Because of the way it tears at our lives, and because it's aimed at destroying the brightness and life of the sons and daughters of the United States.
The news this morning of the death of former First Lady Nancy Reagan at age 94. When I think Nancy Reagan, I'll think of her cause, the way all First Ladies have their cause. She made drug abuse hers. And coined the phrase, really, that's still used today, say no to drugs, in her case. I'll remember her devotional gaze at Ronnie whenever he spoke, her undying dedication to him. As you will read the obituaries on Nancy Reagan, one of the things that you'll read about is how people who worked in the White House during the Reagan years, you know, sort of considered her the number one advisor, the general that she
you
ran.
Had to go through her.
She ran the show,
yes,
and protected Ronald Reagan against you know, personal attacks, and you know, helped advise. We'll remember the stories of her consulting an astrologer. That was a big story in the early parts of the Reagan administration. Bringing an elegance to the White House, bringing, as one story in USA Today is describing it, of bringing old Hollywood to the White House.
Well, Frank Sinatra did. He actually was the guy who put together the inauguration.
The Reagan inauguration, because Nancy Reagan wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, he was old friends with the president.
Right.
But Nancy Reagan wanted things to be a certain way, and that's the way that things were. Joining us on the phone line right now is Tom Mikaitis, professor of history at DePaul University. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Dean.
When we talk with you, usually, Tom, it's about acts of terror, but as a history professor,
mm-hmm.
I thought that you would be a perfect person to talk with this morning and talk about Nancy Reagan and her influence, her power, what her legacy will be on American politics.
Yeah, she's a very complex character, as you said. On the one hand, she could urge the president to, you know, to have these summits with Gorbachev, and then she could kind of get into petty squabbles with Gorbachev's wife. You know, she really was a force behind the throne, to use a cliche, and even getting him into politics. On the other hand, she'd consult an astrologer. You know, it's interesting. First ladies can fall into kind of various types, and she sort of viewed herself in the Jackie Kennedy mold of, you know, of putting a touch of elegance and fashion on both the office and the White House. You know, and that's how she did it. And yet, you know, she did do a great deal to position him for both his runs for the California governorship and finally for president of the United States. And also, the speculation is, and no one knows for sure, that, you know, his failing health may have begun during the last years of his presidency, in which case she was even there a much greater role, similar, you know, to Woodrow Wilson's wife, perhaps. We don't know that. That's speculation.
What role do you think that Nancy played in the formation of his policy, of you know, some of the policies now, as you know, as we watch the Republican debates,
you
hear all the candidates are falling over themselves trying to align themselves with you know, Ronald Reagan and the Reagan years and so forth. What role did Nancy Reagan have in what some perceive as the success of those years?
Yeah, that's a very hard question to answer. I suspect, you know, from all accounts, she was his confidant. So I don't know that she actually, you know, how much she weighed in terms of proposing things. But I get a very strong sense that he ran a lot of his most difficult decisions, you know, past her. And that, you know, as I said, you know, she appears to, you know, play some role in trying to get the rapprochement that you know, leads to the end of the Cold War. How much, you know, we don't know. Really, we have memoir accounts, and these are the some sorts of things that only become clear, you know, long after all the parties are gone. But, you know, she definitely was a formidable person, no question about that.
Talk a little bit about what you think she will be remembered for most. Is it that she was, you know, the one that protected Ronald Reagan? Was it for things that she had done on her own? I mean, people, you know, during the presidency, you know, feminists said that, you know, yeah, she completely devoted her life to him.
Yeah.
But there was more to it, obviously.
I think that's another thing about her. I really think there are very few neutral opinions about Nancy Reagan. I think she was one of those individuals people either hated or loved, and I think that's going to be one of the things she's remembered for. You know, those who criticized her will point out that she was, you know, more concerned about the White House China than about the country of China. I don't know that that's entirely fair, but certainly that decision to buy that, even if it was done with private money, was kind of emblematic for her critics. On the other hand, you know, she did do significant work in campaigning, you know, against drug abuse. A very famous appearance with her giving a hug to Drew Barrymore, and who had struggled with that issue. You know, but there's no question that, you know, she very much, you know, positioned herself in the role of the traditional, lack of a term, corporate or political wife. That, you know, promoting him, positioning him, backing him, defending him, supporting him was how she really, you know, saw her role. And that of course, is what understandably drew a lot of criticism, you know, for people. I mean, she certainly wasn't a Betty Ford. She was not a, you know, not a Eleanor Roosevelt, and certainly not a Michelle Obama.
Yeah, and you know, not a Pat Nixon in the way, you know, where the wife, you know, was really just arm candy and, you know, stood smiling along the side. Well, she did that. I mean, one of the most lasting images in my mind that I'll have of Nancy Reagan is that devoted, loving, you know, would run in front of him to take a bullet kind of, you know, look and style. But different, though. I mean, you could tell that she had a mind of her own and she did what she thought best.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And it was also, you know, it was a love match, too, from all descriptions. You know, there aren't, and I don't profess to be an expert on this, but you don't hear the Jack Kennedy kind of stories, you know, about Ronald Reagan's behavior. The two of them seem to have been faithful and devoted, and, you know, that respect was very mutual. I think he relied on her in a lot of ways to, you know, as his sounding board and his confidant and things of that nature, you know, and yet again, you know, as I said, she could be very feisty, you know, speaking out asking at the Kremlin whether they had church services at, I think it was the Uspensky Cathedral or whatever, you know, so she could at times, you know, and, you know, it's all first ladies. I mean, I think it's a very tough role. You know, people ask, well, you know, nobody elected you to anything, a criticism that was leveled at Hillary Clinton a lot. But on the other hand, these are, you know, the most successful presidents have had pretty strong, pretty effective first ladies.
Talk a little bit about Nancy Reagan after the death of President Reagan. She remained pretty silent. Really, the only exception was when she spoke out for stem cell research, which I think a lot of people in the Republican Party on the conservative side had wished that the wife of their idol, Ronald Reagan, had not stepped forward and spoke so.
But I think that's also, I mean, let's be fair, too, and I think this is one of the criticisms that could be leveled at that presidency. President Reagan also, after he left office, spoke out in favor of AIDS prevention and things like that, which he never touched when he was in office. So I think, you know, what you're seeing is that there is, you know, the public persona of a party politician and their private views. And I think, you know, I think what probably motivated that is, you know, and again, again, I'm not a scientist, but some speculation that, that, you know, some evidence that stem cell research could address something like Alzheimer's. So understandably, you know, that's something that's going to motivate her, you know, to do that. But again, you know, she was also quite up in here. This was a significantly older president and first lady, you know, as I recall, the oldest we had in office, but I may be wrong on that. So, yeah, I think she, and again, much of those post-presidential years, she was taking care of them after he died. You know, she had her own struggle with breast cancer, you know. So I think she, and they lost, you know, they lost his daughter from his first marriage, you know, a lot of difficulty with their oldest daughter and so on. So I think she was quite content to retire to private life except for that one issue.
Tom Mikaitis is a professor of history at DePaul University, and we appreciate you joining us with some of your thoughts and reflections on what certainly will be the top story of the day, the death of Nancy Reagan. Tom, thank you so much.
Sure, Dean. Have a nice day.
We appreciate it. Thank you. It's 11:18. Love to hear some of your thoughts and remembrances of Nancy Reagan. 312-981-7200. We'll open up the phone lines and get some of your memories of the former First Lady when we come back. 312-981-7200. It's Dean Richards Sunday Morning on WGN.